Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH. Know Your Risk Radio is hosted by Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often volatile markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
And we are back. I'm coming in hot. I'm coming in so hot that I even see my levels a little bit too. See, that's how you know you've been in the game for a while, Darren, is when you can talk about your levels. You know, it's that's like insider lingo. Right? That's, you know, you're climbing up the echelons at that point. You're not pretending anymore. No, this is part of doing a broadcast still from the Bulwark COVID bunker. It hasn't slowed us down, though, folks, right? I got to run my own board. Anyway, and welcome back to the most scintillating hour in finance radio. Despite the chaotic way we've started here, because of me having to adjust my levels. See, I'm just going to keep fitting that in there. I don't want you guys to be confused here. We're bringing the noise on this one. And I enjoy doing every show. I've said it before, but I'm just especially fired up with this because we've got some just, I think it's an exciting time. It's a crazy time. Some might even say scary. I say exciting. And the reason why I say exciting is because, guys, one of the things that you got to know about investing is where there is turmoil and uncertainty, there is opportunity. What is it? I believe the Chinese word that danger and opportunity or something like that. It's the same word, right? In the Chinese language. Do not quote me, but it's something to that effect. My Cantonese is wanting. My Mandarin is wanting. Anyway, so great show planned for you today. Going to do a little bit of a hybrid approach here. Going to do our market update, but we're only going to do it for about 2 or 3 minutes, and you'll shortly see why. Because I really want to focus on something in the market update. There's something in the market update that I think is a really good illustration of where I think you should be looking and where we're looking and the opportunities that are out there. So first of all, on a market level, it's really fascinating to me where markets are at right now. And the reason why is exactly where we left off basically from last week. We're there, a little weaker maybe. But once again, you've got the VIX plumbing, the volatility index plumbing its lows of really the last 11 months since the blow up in March. And you also have all three major indexes bumping right up against all time highs. I think two or three times this week, one of the indexes closed at least slightly above its all-time high, and then the very next day retreated, and the day that it closed above its all-time high, the other two were below theirs. So you're just playing this, you know, this whack-a-mole game. Meanwhile, VIX is plumbing the lows. I'll say the same thing we said last week, which was one of these has got to give. And of course, in this market, I should have expected the fact that that would take 2 weeks as opposed to one. But it's just really interesting because you've got a big setup. From a setup here, really anything could happen. You could see a very sharp move to the downside. You could see a very sharp move to the upside. I kind of am leaning in the camp that you got to see one or the other. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to, you know, be the trajectory that markets stay on for the next year. But the interesting thing about that is that this congestion is happening right at all-time highs. Which it typically does. If you break through to new all-time highs, that would suggest, hey, we're off to the races again on a technical level. And yet there's a lot of really, the movement underneath the surface continues to be fascinating. We'll get into that. commodities. Look, guys, you guys have heard me pounding the table on energy. Oil hit a high that it hasn't been at since, geez, I want to say last November or something like that. We poked above $62 on West Texas Intermediate. Brent is a little bit higher, but, you know, still oil looking very, very strong, even surprisingly so to me. Obviously, we've been energy bulls, but this has been an unrelenting move higher in oil. I would expect some pullbacks here, just because that's typically what you see. Again, nothing in this market would really surprise me. Gold continues to stagnate. I think part of that is just a function of the dollar not dropping precipitously. It's kind of found this floor at like 90 on the DXY. I hear a lot of people saying, oh, it's Bitcoin taking over. I think that Bitcoin is certainly stealing some capital from the flows on gold, but, you know, gold's kind of in no man's land here, but it's long-term. Wouldn't like gold here as a trade. That's certainly not a recommendation one way or the other, but, you know, don't let anybody shake you out of your long-term view on gold. But anyway, what we want to focus here. So that's the basic, guys. There's really no GameStop stories. There's nothing incredible that happened this week that I think is of note. What I will say is, again, the things happening under the surface are of note. Those things are really interesting to me. And I think a really good way to sum this up is uranium. Now, this is going to be a very quick primer. We are going to be having a talk specifically about uranium with Chase Taylor of Pinecone Macro Research next Friday on the show. We'll probably do a 15 to 20 minute deep dive on the uranium industry and the opportunities we see there. And guys, I know that this sounds like off the wall stuff, and this is going to feed into the next segment we do as well. But the reason why I think that this stuff is so key is because at turning points, and I'm not the first one that has said this, okay? So I don't want you to think that this is just coming straight from me. A lot of this is from Soros and Paul Tudor Jones and a lot of these different guys. But when you look at markets, one of the reasons that really good investors will stick with things for long periods of times where they take a lot of flack for it, even if it means it's underperformance, is because that investor knows, typically, that, and what they're hoping, right? Because we don't know for sure. Nobody knows for sure. But what you're hoping is that that discipline will be rewarded by catching the turn. Okay. And what I mean by that is that when you see, let's use the dollar, for instance. Okay. Let's say you go on a period of time where the dollar is really strong. And gold is getting pounded. Okay. Now, people could say, well, gold had a really big rally or gold got pounded in the 80s and we were battling inflation. We were, but real rates were positive, meaning that the rates, where interest rates were in excess of inflation, and positive real rates is typically a drag for gold. Okay. So my point being, though, is that if you have this long period of time where gold outperforms or the dollar outperforms and, you know, one goes down a lot, and the longer that period of time and the greater that span of outperformance, you don't know where the turn's going to happen, right? Because everything reverts to its mean. You get way out there and you stretch it and everybody goes, oh, gold's done forever. The dollar's the only thing you can own, right? And that's typically about the time these things turn. So the reason you want to put up with the pain, or the reason a lot of these great investors do and are greatly rewarded for it, is because they know that if they miss the turn, they'll miss the majority of the move. And what I mean by that is, again, the longer that move, right? Think of tech versus value. The longer that lasts and the bigger that valuation spread goes, the more violent that move back, the more violent that mean reversion is going to be. And typically, let's say you mean revert and all of a sudden value outperforms tech for 8 years. Typically speaking, you're going to get the majority, you know, if not, you know, 40, 50, 60% of your overall returns in the first year and a half to 2 years of that rotation, right? Because it's kind of like Hanes Brands. I'm not advising that you buy Hanes Brands. I'm not even telling you that we own it, but we did own it. It was beaten down. We bought it when it was really beaten down. They released a quarter recently that was right in line with our projections, was not impressive. The next day, the stock popped 25%. Why? Because people had just left it for dead, right? And you get that boom, you know, you get it that turn, you get that initial realization that these things aren't going away, and you typically see rapid price appreciation. And I think that's the exact setup we've got in uranium right now, and it's going to be a bumpy ride, right? Get prepared. But you're looking at a world that is structurally undersupplied for uranium, and you're looking at a world at the same time that in an answer to climate change and honestly in a stimulative measure to recoup what we've lost from COVID, On the top of all of these infrastructure bills are the build out of new nuclear reactors and possibly the restoration of existing nuclear reactors. What does that mean? It means that in a world structurally undersupplied of uranium, we're going to be drastically increasing the demand. Okay, you do the math. Bottom line is uranium needs to go up. I don't know. I'm not promising you that it will. I'm just saying economically it needs to. And I think it'll be a bumpy ride. But it's one of those things where you just look at the setup and you're like, the world needs a lot more uranium and we currently don't have enough for what's existing, right? Our existing demand isn't going to be met. And we're building a lot of new demand. And this will feed, right? But that's kind of a prelude to the deeper discussion we'll have with uranium, because I think it is a phenomenal opportunity. It's going to be a wild ride. Anyway, got to go to the next segment and we're going to roll right into it. The name of the next segment is going to be Why Tech Won't Crash, But Your Portfolio Could. Okay, so this is really important. I think this is a really important show in general. So stick through us. You're going to want to hear it. Stick through the break. We'll be right back. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Do better in bull markets. Do better in bear markets. Pay less fees in all markets. You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management. You can subscribe to Zach's free newsletter, The Bulwark Insider Report, at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. Thank you so much for sticking with us, and let's get right into it. So I teased this a little bit, but been thinking a lot about this. And you know what's funny? I'm sure you can all relate, but you know, there's times where you see something and it just fits. Right? Golfers out there can sympathize. You know, you have those days where you go back to read a putt and it's almost like you see a highlighter on the green, right? You just see the line. And then there's times where you don't, or you think you do, but when you do, you're sure, right? It's, you just know, right? One of the funny things about that, and again, I'm sure you can sympathize with this as well, is that when you get that feeling that you know, and then it plays out that way, it's still always kind of surprising, right? You're like, holy smokes, I was right. And I think we all know firsthand, that's a lot better than the inverse, right? but the way that this plays in, and the way, and I teased this in the previous segment, saying that the uranium would kind of wrap right into this. And I really think it does. And the reason I focus on tech, just as a primer to everybody else, is that the most popular mode of investing has become index ETFs, right? And then outside of that, at least on the retail side, it's going to be mutual funds. And in our opinion, you face many of the same problems in both. And that is that these things are judged against the S&P 500. Right? And because they're judged against it, their composition is going to be similar. Right? Because if you know what you're being judged against, right, you don't want to build a portfolio that could possibly miss it by 30%, right? You want to beat it. But at the same time, you want to, you know, you want to make sure if you're wrong on a couple things that you still track closely to it. So people want to use your fund. And so tech, for a lot of good reasons, right, has become such an unbelievable weight in the S&P. And I believe that history will show that it's overdone. And I think that any rational, level-headed investor, they may think it's got further to go. They could be 100% right. But, you know, I think every rational, level-headed investor that's got any type of track record of success would be like, yeah, it's whew, it could keep going, but it's really expensive, right? So now before you turn away and think that this is just bubble talk, let me start by saying the name of this segment is Tech Won't Crash. And now you hear a lot of people out there talking about doomsday stuff. And I think it's funny when people think that I am, because I'm not. Me saying that something is going to crash doesn't mean that there's tons of other opportunities out there. But I'm actually saying that tech that I've railed against, I want to make it really clear because I think people have gotten it confused. I don't think you're going to see a repeat of 1999. I don't think you're going to see the NASDAQ drop 85%. Okay, and the reason why is because, yes, a lot of those companies, especially the ones at the top, they're expensive, but they're incredible companies, right? They deserve to be expensive. Now, I think it's overdone, right? But you're talking about the most profitable companies in history. And is it frothy? Is it overdone? Yeah, and I think those valuations need to pull back. And I think you could see, and again, I'm not predicting this, but I think a 20, 30, 35% correction in NASDAQ would be, actually, I think it would be long-term healthy for the markets, at least for the trajectory of markets. And I think it's entirely possible just based on how overextended they are. But I don't think, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, Apple's going to 10 bucks a share. You know, look, I don't think that's going to happen. As a matter of fact, I'd bet a lot of money that it won't. But here's the issue. The issue is that you have this turn. Everybody, whether you own the ETFs or you own the mutual funds, you're loaded up in tech. Just trust me. Unless you have a specific mutual fund that is aimed at something else or a specific index fund that's aimed at something else. And the reason I think that that's dangerous is not because I think that you're going to get wiped out. Now, I do think there's a lot in that neighborhood that is going to get drilled, right? You're going to see companies that don't really deteriorate on a fundamental basis, you're going to see 70, 80, 90% losses on some of these things just because they're that expensive. Okay, but I don't think the index as a whole is going to have anywhere close to the 85% drop it had in 99. There's just too many real companies throwing off incredible amounts of profit. That being said, guys, the exact same thing that has made tech so popular, the exact same thing that has made tech soar to such an unbelievable weight in the S&P 500 and in markets in general, I think that that exact same reason is now working for value. And what I mean is just simply earnings and growth. Think about this. If you're a tech investor, you're going to be very hard pressed over the next year or two or even three to get a lot of substantial growth backed up against what you did in 2020. Right? I don't think your business is going to blow up. I'm not saying that at all. I think a lot of them will continue to grow. I just think that what they did in 2020 was they just fast forwarded things, right? They just sucked out, you know, 4 or 5, possibly even more years of growth that would have happened in the future at a more, you know, tepid, you know, drawn out pace. And you just sped that up and you credited that to them because of COVID in 2020. So I think that on margin, I don't think these things are going to plummet, but I do think that they could be looking at a 5 to 10 year period of, pardon me, guys, of very tepid growth and disappointing growth as it relates to the market overall. Then you flip over and look at these value companies, okay, whose businesses were decimated last year. And we've talked about this on the show before, but we're watching this happen. I've sat there and watched tech be stalled out while the Russell 2000 is up something like 45% in the last 3.5 months. Okay, watching value rip, watching our portfolio rip. Right? And all this stuff is still ridiculously cheap compared to the overall markets, and all the economic winds are at its back. Right? You're going to have infrastructure spending, you're going to have stimulus, you got all these things. And tech crushed it last year. If you want, the reason tech did so well is we had a weak growth environment and they were the only ones posting incredible earnings beats, right? Well, What do you got this year? I think at least for the year, because of opening back up the economy, you're going to have incredible growth economically. And yet tech got all that last year. So I think their earnings and revenue growth is just going to be disappointing compared to what they'd done the previous few years, especially last year. Meanwhile, you're going to have these run-of-the-mill oil and natural gas companies and copper companies and, you know, truck companies and things like that. They're boom. You know, they're going to be posting some of the best earnings and revenue numbers you've seen in the last, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. And the reason why I think that's important is this, in my opinion, and there's going to be fits and starts along the way, but I'm very much in the camp that we're turning the corner to an inflationary environment. And so you could see a scenario where, like I said, I don't think tech's going to crash. But I think the growth of your tech investments, when compared to inflation and compared to the way that these value and more inflation-linked type stocks and commodities perform, I think you could perform very poorly over the next 5 to 10 years when it comes to your performance versus inflation and those kinds of asset classes. I think it could be very poor. So on a nominal basis, you might not have a horrible decade, right? But if your portfolio is averaging 2.5, 3.5% a year and you're running at 4 to 5% inflation for a 5 to 10 year period of time, those are losses. That means your purchasing power is going down. And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I think it will. And I think it's starting. And again, if you don't believe me, just go look at the performance of the Russell 2000 over the last 4 months. Look at the performance of oil. Go look at those things compared to the performance of tech over the last 3 or 4 months. Now, 3 or 4 months does not make a trend, right? It's still early. I'm just saying this is the greatest bit of outperformance that you've seen at any point over the last 10 years. And it's coming from a place of record disparity in terms of valuations. It's just got all the hallmarks of a classic rotation, and we're just seeing that game continue to play. And so I think that one of the things that if you're just relying on the typical asset allocation model, you are loaded up in tech. I've said this 100 times. You're loaded up in tech. You got to get more tactical. If you want to keep up with inflation and have solid growth over the next decade, guys, is it a surprise to you that what's worked so well over the last decade probably won't over the next decade? You've been long enough. You've been around long enough to know that. That's the way things work. Right? Things cycle. And like I said, I just think this could be particularly damaging because not only do people not have enough exposure to the thing that I think is ramping and about ready to take off, but they've got less exposure to it than they've ever had. Right? So in my opinion, it's like really being at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I think it could have deleterious impacts on your retirement. And that's why you need a more tactical risk managed approach. And a firm believer, you need active management. This is not a time to be just rolling with the market and taking what it gives you. Guys, the outcomes are too extreme and your retirement is too important. We only get one. And if you want to know how to safeguard your retirement, if you want to know how to increase your upside while drastically reducing your downside and actually have somebody manage your assets that is paying attention to what's going on in the world, right? And trying to position you where you're going to win and not get hurt and manage the risk of your portfolio, which you should, call us 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. BulwarkCapitalManagement.com. You can even shoot us an email. Educate yourselves and do not miss the next segment. I think it's one of the most important we've ever done. We'll stick with us through the break. We'll be right back. This is the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Tory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock-bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss, but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach uncover the truth about the financial markets with simple and honest advice to help you plan for retirement. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
As we age, we can't always plan on good health, but you can plan long-term care coverage to give peace of mind to you and your family. Story Monson, a great way to learn about long-term care and have your questions answered is to join my friends from 525 Advisors for their free long-term care planning live webinar this Wednesday at 10 a.m. You'll learn so much. 525 Advisors will explain how long-term care works, what the coverage pays for, and you'll discover all the new options and different ways to fund a plan. Then when you're ready, 525 Advisors will design a custom plan with you, like they did for my wife and me. Our plan even has lifetime benefits that pay our estate back if we never use it. I love how much time they spent with us. And it's not just me. Read the reviews. People love working with Brian and Madeline at 525 Advisors. So get the great peace of mind long-term care coverage gave my family and me. Sign up now for the free live webinar this Wednesday morning at 10. Go to 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And we are back. And I want to jump right into this because I wasn't being hyperbolic at the end of the last segment when I said that I think it's one of the most important segments we've ever done. I really believe that. And the reason, and I've alluded to things like this on the show before, but I know that if you're good at this job, it requires humility. And I won't, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. As you can imagine, when you're on a tear like anything else and you feel like you can't miss, it's hard to be humble. Everybody wants to believe they're special. And I'm no exception to that. But you have to be humble because if you're not, you will get humbled. And getting humbled when you're managing other people's money is not where you want to be. And it's one of the reasons we focus on humility. But one of the reasons I haven't said this before, what I'm about to say, in this clear and plain of language, is because when you're saying something that cuts against the grain, again, I'm sure a lot of you can sympathize, especially when it comes to something like people's retirements, especially when you have a platform like we do and you're talking to people where you don't know what their situation is. I always want to be careful. And again, our clients know this, but I'm sure there's people who listen to this show. It's like, you're just saying this to round up accounts. And I've said openly, yeah, that's one of the reasons we do the show, of course, is to market how we do things. But the other side of it is that we actually want to be a value add to people. And I really think that this is a segment that I just encourage you, if you're listening to this and you have a normal portfolio that's in another firm and you don't ever plan on even calling us, that's fine. Okay, that's fine. But I just beg of you, just hear me out. Listen to the logic in this, because I really do believe whether you do it through us or you somehow do it on your own or you go to somebody else that can do it for you, I do believe that this one concept is going to save you a lot of money and make your retirement a lot better, okay? So what made me feel comfortable about saying this is that I heard an interview recently with Grant Williams, and he interviewed a guy by the name of Jim Stack, long-term money manager, researcher, and he basically said this in the interview with Grant, and it really hit home to me because I sat there and I thought, you know, if Jim is saying this, in very clear words, you know, I should too. I really need to voice this and not allude to it and just break it down for people. Because the modern financial industry, advisor industry, in my opinion, is really failing people here. So what I believe, and we've talked about this in great length on the show before, but I'm going to summarize it all here. What I believe is that the model for managing retail clients, people in retirement, I believe, and I believe that I know because of the data, and I believe it's irrefutable. But I believe that that model is deeply broken. And I think it's broken from the outset. I think it was allowed to be broken because things were so good for so many years and the returns came. And we started looking at the stock market like a cash machine that would spit out this stuff automatically every year. And yet, despite that, we know better. But the underlying premise was flawed. And here's the underlying premise. We're going to build you a retirement portfolio built of 60% stocks and 40% bonds, or 70% stocks or 30% bonds, or 80% stocks and whatever the case may be. But we're going to build you a bond portfolio. And the reason we're going to allocate the number we are to stocks and bonds is because we know you need to accomplish X percent. Okay? And historically, now keep that term in mind. Historically, I'm using air quotes. You can't see me, so I'm on the radio, but I'm using air quotes. But historically, that portfolio has averaged 60-40 stock bonds, has averaged 8.5% to 9%. Okay. And you need 6% returns a year to accomplish your retirement goal. So this is the prudent portfolio to go with. Okay, and I believe the mistake was made right there. When they say the word historical performance, what they're talking about is the average performance of stocks and bonds over the past 100 years. Do you know of a retirement that lasts 100 years? No. It lasts much shorter than that. What do we also know? We also know that there are multiple times where over 15 to 25 year periods of times, stocks and bonds had negative returns. So if you use that logic, there are multiple times just in the past 100 years where if somebody was following your guidance and retired, they had a catastrophic outcome. Now, people are saying, hey, bad things happen, anomalies happen. Okay, but your retirement isn't an anomaly, right? It's happening for sure. It's a 100% certainty. And we also know that it doesn't last for 100 years. So what does that tell us? What it should tell us is to throw 100-year averages out the window. We need to be managing your retirement assets on an absolute return basis. What does that mean? That means that we should be looking for positive absolute returns on a year-to-year basis, regardless of where we think that takes us. Because we don't have the luxury of time to allow your 100-year average to play out. Now, with that, we will accept risks to both sides. Meaning, is it possible that we could decide to take an absolute return portfolio outlook and make you less over the course of your retirement than you would have had you just played the long-term average? Sure. Though over the last 13 years is a perfect example. Right? But we need to weigh the risks. The downside of taking an absolute return approach is underperformance. The downside of playing the long run average approach multiple times over the last 100 years has been financial devastation, ruin, broke, bankrupt. So does it make sense that we are risking absolute ruin for slightly, and not necessarily actually, better performance? No, it's a complete misweighting of risk. It's ridiculous and it's reckless. It just is. How do you argue with that? You're building me a portfolio to finance the next 20 years of my life. It cannot fail, because if it does, my retirement goes up in smoke, and you're going to build it on 100-year average performance. How do you make sense of that? Right? So if you don't believe me, or you feel intrigued, or you're interested in the way that we do things, and you're working with somebody else, look, listen to this segment 4 or 5 times, get it down, and walk in and ask them that. Well, ask your advisor that. Explain to me, sir, why we're using 100-year performance averages to finance the next 20 years of my life. And we know that over the course of those 100-year averages, we've seen 80 to 90% drops at times. We've seen negative returns for 15 and 25-year increments, which if that happened to you, it ruins your retirement. Why are we leaving that risk on the table? Does it make sense in an environment where stocks are the most expensive in history and bonds are the most expensive in history and interest rates are the lowest in history? Does it make sense at that point to expect average annual returns? It shouldn't. You want to know why? Because anytime you've ever been this overvalued, you didn't get average annual returns. You got way worse. Yet your portfolio is built on the idea that that just continues. Guys, retirement is a certainty. It's going to happen to all of us. You have to have a portfolio that at least keeps you solvent no matter what. You've got a portfolio that is for a very defined period of time, and it's built on 100-year average performance. It makes no sense. And it's especially prescient right now because of the historical valuations and the fact that this is the longest, biggest run in U.S. history. And look, a lot of our clients, right, they invest with us because they get this inherently. It makes sense to them. It resonates. It hits home. And there are those that don't. And the answer is always the same. They look at me and they will, you know, I think we'll stick with what we've got because it's worked really well. And I'm like, that's the problem. That's the problem. Everything's worked well. That's not the way life works, guys. Right? They cycle. It's good and bad. We go from tech to value and value back to tech. There's no straight lines. We all know this. And yet we're sitting here literally historically. You've got portfolios that if we look at the historical data, that if you're retiring today in these modern portfolios, the 60-40 stock, all that kind of stuff. And if we look at the state of the market today, valuations, length of the run, all that kind of thing, and we just take any time you've been anywhere in this neighborhood of being this expensive or overbought, over the next 10 years, you had actually really bad returns. Okay? So let's just run your retirement simulation through the right? They're using the historical average for your annualized rate of growth. So let's use the historical averages of stock market returns over the next 10 years when valuations were anywhere near this expensive. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Let's look at both. Well, they're giving you a portfolio. If the average outcome in the past, if the average outcome in the past occurs over the next 10 years, like it has in the previous periods when markets got this expensive, if the average historical outcome happens, your retirement's blown up. Now, am I guaranteeing you that's going to happen? No, but what I'm saying is if you're relying on that typical 60-40 mutual fund approach, the historical averages say you're not going to make it. It's going to be a really bad 10 years. That's what they say. And that's what I was saying by the underlying fundamentals, the philosophy behind the way that we are building modern portfolios. It's not correct. It's all built off a period of a time where you had financial nirvana from 1980 to 2000. Market never dropped more than, I don't think the market ever dropped more than 20% in a single year, year over year. I mean, you were down 30% in 87 at one point, or just shy of 30%, but you recovered well above that by the end of the year. and interest rates were going down and the economy was booming and all these wonderful things. It was nirvana. So we literally took one of the best periods of time for financial assets in U.S. history. And we built the portfolio that would work the best during that period of time. That's what you've got. And yet at the same time, I can show you two, three, even four different circumstances over the last 100 years that had you retired with that portfolio at that time, you would have been ruined. And the other frustrating thing to me is these are just the facts. This shows you how little thought and research has gone into the modern portfolio construction. And now everybody's running around out there going, oh yeah, the 60-40 portfolio isn't going to work in the future. Really? It's 2021 and you've just come to that conclusion? Where were you when rates hit zero? How was it going to continue? And guys, at the end of the day, right, what I think really doesn't matter, this is your life. Not only that, but you're paying people to slap you in mutual funds and you're paying them for the privilege to join the ride with you. They're not bringing any additional value. They're not out to try to stick it to you. They're not doing this because they're bad people. They're doing it because that's what the banks told them to do. But think about this. It's just so important. If your portfolio does what the historical average was, when conditions get this frothy, right? Any time in the past where you have been somewhere like this, your portfolio has had a really bad 10 years over the next 10 years. And so you see the mismatch, right? Why do we have this portfolio? Well, historical average returns. Well, you're like, yeah, but anytime the market's been close to this overvalued, historically, the outcome's been really bad. Well, you got to ride it up and down. Okay, well, if I'm riding it up and down, what am I paying you for? Boom. What do you need? You need a retirement portfolio that works no matter what happens, no matter what, right? You need risk management. You need to make money to protect yourself against inflation when that's going up. You also need to make sure in this crazy environment that you've got a net underneath you, that no matter what happens, if there is another Great Depression, if there's hyperinflation, no matter what happens, you're fine. Why? Because you don't get another shot at this. So send this segment to your friends and family. Not because I want them to call me, okay? Because their financial, I really believe this, their financial well-being depends on it. And if you acknowledge, if you're hearing me, if this is resonating, call us, guys. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. There's a better way. You guys, we can risk manage and increase your upside potential, okay? Where it doesn't mean you have to hide out under the bed. It's a better way. Anyway, we got to go, got to take a quick break, and we will be back with our interview with Grant Williams. But call us, guys, 866-779-RISK. Take the 30 seconds it takes to invest in the rest of your life. Trust me, it's worth it. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Hey, it's Dory Monson with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. And Zach, recently, one of the largest investment banks in the country, finally published research showing why a 60-40 stock bond portfolio is outdated. This is something you've been talking about on Know Your Risk Radio for years. Now they're jumping on the bandwagon.
Dory, it certainly feels that way. This research shows exactly what we've been telling people for years now. Using bonds as the safe portion of your portfolio is a serious gamble, and now is not the time to be gambling your retirement. With Bulwark's bond replacement strategy, we'll show you how to protect your portfolio against loss but still grow your assets. We teach you exactly how to do it in our free booklet, Common Sense Investing.
Call Zach right now to get your free copy of Common Sense Investing. Call 866-779-RISK or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Investment advice cannot be given without a client service agreement where the firm is licensed to conduct business. Bulwark Capital is a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is Brian Ott with 525 Advisors, and I want to say thank you for tuning in to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. If you're like me, you look forward to this every weekend. I have been working with Zach and his team for several years now because Zach gets it. He puts his clients first. And for me, that's what it's all about. I know retirement planning can seem daunting at times, but my personal experience has taught me having a professional in your corner is essential. And Zach and his team have proven to me and my clients to be a tremendous asset. Not only will he guide you through your options, he will listen to you and make your concerns his top priority. So give Zach and his team a call. You'll be glad you did. And when you're ready, we can show you how to make sure your retirement plans aren't derailed by an extended healthcare event. We have many options to protect your nest egg and your family, including plans that pay you back if you never use them. You can learn more about us and our upcoming events at 525longtermcare.com. That's 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
And welcome back. Thank you for joining us and sticking with us. And once again, my favorite part of the show, we got a special guest with us, interview. We had him on multiple times and wanted to get him back on to, of course, talk markets, as we always do, but also talk about his new venture that he started that I just signed up for this morning. Plan on being a longtime subscriber. And I am speaking about none other than Mr. Grant Williams. Grant, first of all, how the heck are you? And thank you again for joining us. Always enjoy these chats.
Hi, mate. Likewise. Thanks for having me on again. Yeah, I'm doing well. It's funny. I had a terrible cold all weekend. And first time I've been even remotely sick in a long, long time. And, you know, these days it's kind of weird going into the grocery store and putting a shopping basket on the counter that has, you know, DayQuil and NyQuil and tissues and stuff. You feel like some kind of criminal, you know. Everyone's going to look at you as though you've got the COVID. So it was kind of a surreal experience, I have to say.
Well, it's funny you say that, because if I sound now, I do not have a cold, but I sound a little bit hoarse. And that is from, this is what you sound like after sledding in 28 degree weather with an 8 and a 6 year old.
Nice.
You know, and the you know, the yelling and all that kind of stuff. So we had a blast, right? We had a blast, but my voice, unfortunately, has paid the price. Well, anyway, big things going down. You've really put the podcast behind the paywall now, and you've launched a new venture. Why don't you kind of walk us through that and you know, what the genesis of it is? Where do you think it's headed? What do you want to do? I noticed when I signed up, we're still waiting for the gold and platinum memberships. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on what that's going to offer. And then, kind of just give us the 411 and let us know how it's laying out and how it came to be.
Well, I think, you know, like, this is something I spent an awful lot of time thinking about, obviously. And it's funny, you know, when you talk about this and those words, you put that behind the paywall, it sounds so dramatic, you know. but the reality was this, you know, I spent a lot of time under lockdown, as we all did, right? Just kind of bored out of my mind. And I started having chats with people, which I, you know, was putting out there and just sharing with everybody. And really, it started as a means to keep myself occupied. And, you know, as they grew and morphed, it turned into a podcast, which again was great fun. I did three separate podcasts kind of under the same banner, with one with Bill Fleckenstein called The Endgame, one with Steph Pomboy called The Super Terrific Happy Hour, and one with Ben Hunt called The Narrative Game. And they're all very much different podcasts, but all under that same banner. And you know, the response was tremendous. People really enjoyed the podcast, and you know, I think all four of us really enjoyed doing them. But they, you know, as you know, right, these things aren't straightforward. They take a lot of time. They take a lot of energy to try and put them together. And again, like I've done at other times in my career, I got to the point where I was spending so much time with them, and I figured, look, my time is literally the most precious resource that I have. And if I'm going to commit my time and my energy and my efforts to doing this, then, you know, I'm not doing it to generate a big audience, which is kind of a fairly standard way forward at this point in the cycle. Everybody wants a big audience, and the thought behind it being, if you generate a big audience, then you make yourself attractive for sponsors and advertisers. And I didn't want to go down that road. I don't want to have advertisers and sponsors that I'm beholden to. I would much rather, instead of having 100,000 people listening to my show, I would rather have a much smaller group of people, but a group of people who take value from it. you know, and I think if something is valuable to you, then it has a value, and that value isn't zero. And that aside, I think there are an awful lot of content creators out there now who are up to their necks and swimming in an ocean of free content. And the pushback I've had from a lot of people has been, well, you know, there's so much free content out there. Well, why should I be paying for yours? And I totally understand that. It's a perfectly understandable response. But what I've found in the last number of months is that I've tried to cut down on the free content, and I've tried to focus on the stuff that I really take value from. And I've always been very happy to pay for content that I take value from. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of content creators out there doing great work, creating really important stuff that have become almost afraid to charge for it because everything else is free. And I think once you let go of this idea that having a massive audience is the most important thing, you realize that having the right audience, no matter what size it is a much more important thing. And so to be able to communicate and create content for people that truly value it is actually a very liberating experience. And it saves you the time and trouble of thinking, well, you know, I wonder if when I put this out, are people going to like it or not?
All right, guys, hate to do it, but due to time constraints, we got to cut the interview off right here. But as always, and I really couldn't encourage this more because Grant is as knowledgeable as they come with none of the pomp and circumstance, which I appreciate. And if you just want to hear it straight, you should really listen to what he says. Go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. Download and subscribe to the podcast. You get interviews and updates every week when we do the show. You log right on. You can listen on your phone, on your computer. Anyway, knowyourriskradio.com. Don't miss this interview, guys. He's a highly sought-after speaker. This is a big name in the financial world, and I think he's a very level-headed and very kind and good and smart guy. It's definitely worth the time. Anyway, hope you enjoyed the show. As always, we'll be back next week. Give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You're listening to the Know Your Risk Radio podcast. Download and subscribe at knowyourriskradio.com.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham now at knowyourriskradio.com. Zach will be back with more Know Your Risk Radio next Saturday at noon on 97.3 Cairo FM and AM 770 KTTH.
Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.